Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message by our guest speaker. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Let's praise the Lord one more time like we expect Him to do something. Like we expect Him to do something. Come on! He inhabits the praises. You can be seated, but stand up on the inside. Come on. There's a move of God that's touching and moving. And I really still believe we're living Acts 2:2. Suddenly, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's a wind of revival. It's a wind that's sweeping our land. It's a wind that's sweeping throughout the whole earth. It's wind that's stirring up the water so a tidal wave of God's glory can hit. It's just a fresh wind, and there's fresh fire and fresh oil. Everything's becoming new. So don't settle for the old. As I was driving up here this morning, the Lord said, you know, tell my people, I've set a table. I've set the table. The Bible says in Psalm 23, they set a table in the midst of our enemies. Come and eat. Come and eat. Come and eat. See, I honestly believe it's a come to Jesus moment for everybody. Come on. I don't care if you know Him, you still got to come to Him. Come on. Don't stop coming. Don't stop coming. The moment you stop coming, you stop growing. The moment you stop growing, you stop going. So come to Jesus. He said, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. In Matthew 11:28, he said, I'll give you rest. You know, all during the Asbury revival, I've been watching it. I just left Kentucky right before it broke out. But all during I keep hearing one message. And I kept hearing over and over and over again, the greatest repentance was out of self-effort. Stop trying to do it apart from God. Stop trying to do it. You'll wear yourself out. Stop trying. Stop trying to be good enough. Stop trying. Just walk with God. Come on. Just lay down, lay down, lay. See, you cannot rise to a new level unless you throw off the weight. Sometimes you're throwing off sin, but a lot of times you're just throwing off weights. Trying to add to things, trying to earn what God's already freely given you. If you knew how awesome you were, you'd be amazed. And in this fresh move of God, I was watching a video of our church from last Sunday morning in my home church. We bought them all there. And I was watching the second service where praise just exploded. And you know, all of a sudden, all the young people are dancing with all their might. And this 9-year-old boy who was the worship leader's son is just going to town. You know what I'm saying? Dancing before the Lord with everything within him. And he told his mom, he said, my heart was beating so fast, it felt like goodness. And the moment I walked in the room today, I've been saying that everywhere I go, goodness and mercy follow me. Come on, they follow me all the days of my life. So I know goodness and mercy are here right now because I came. I know Jesus is here right now because I came. I know you can be healed right now because I came. And I'm carrying Him. Come on. It's no longer me but Christ. It's a new day. There's something beginning to change. But many of you, you have to let go of your history to embrace your destiny. Forgetting what lies behind. There's an upward call. And there's always more. You know, we've been talking about, and they're talking about this, and don't you miss the presence of God. Even as a group, if He can get here, get here. Because God blesses hunger. God meets you at your hunger level. He will give you as much as you want. And if you'll receive what he gives you, you'll always want more. Come on. But if you're not hungry, he can't fill you because you're already fed up. We're not here to have a meeting about God. We're here to go face to face with him. We're here to experience him. I'm not going to give you an explanation. This is not a history lesson. It's a relationship. Come on. God's going to begin to breathe all over things. He's going to begin to speak to you individually and corporately. He's going to begin to call you up and out. The early church, when they saw Jesus crucified, it said the disciples were locked in the room because of fear, the fear of the Jews. I mean, how many of you know this nation was locked up because of fear? But Jesus came into that room. And the moment Jesus came into that room, everything changed because fear left. Fear left. Fear left. And guess what? They didn't stay in that little room anymore. Some of you have been locked up in the room, but Jesus is coming into your room, and fear is going to leave, and it's going to release you into a level you've never been. So I asked God, I said, God, what is my word for this year? And he gave me the word soar. It's time to fly. It's time to fly. It's time to get our wings out. It's time. It's high time. The church was never supposed to live in a low place. Come on. You're seated in heavenly places. It's an upward call in Christ Jesus. We never were supposed to stop growing or glowing. The path of righteousness is ever upward, never downward. It's from faith to faith and glory to glory. And he gave me the scripture in Isaiah 40, 29, where it talks about those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up. See, you can't rise up on your own. You can rise up in the presence of God. God, there's a lift in the presence of God. You get around God, he'll lift you. You're already seated in heavenly places, but he'll lift you into places where that becomes your reality. And he said, it talks about how we'll run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. See, revival's not the energy of the flesh. It's the moving of the Spirit. You don't have to work up. You just get in the flow. Just get in the flow. Go where it's happening, man. What did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say he had to produce anything. He said, I just do what I see my Father doing. He said, God's already doing it, so when I saw it, I'm just entering into it. Come on. Some of you are going to see something, and all of a sudden, some of you may get healed in your seat today. Because God will say, get up and move. We've had people healed in services, getting out of wheelchairs at the wrong time. It was supposed to be happening when I laid my hands on them so I could put it in a newsletter. But no. It had to happen during worship, so he had to get the credit. No, just kidding. But that's the way it is in a lot of places. I really don't care how. I don't care who God uses. I don't care. All I care is his will be done. That's all I care. See, we're about ready to take off. But like I said, if we're going to take off, we're going to have to get the weight off. Throw off the sins and the weights, looking to Jesus. Come to the table and eat. Come to him. If Jesus is out on the water, it's safer on the water than in the boat. So get out of the boat. And to be honest, he's out in the water now. He's out. He said, come. See, he said, come. When Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus expected all the disciples to walk there. He didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. But only one was willing to go to him. See, we're waiting for Jesus to come to our boat. He's waiting for us to walk on the water. Come on. Come on out. Come on out. Step on out in faith. Go meet God where he is. Something fresh is about ready to happen. See, there's a law of the Spirit of life will lift you out of, in Christ Jesus, will lift you out of the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8, 2. It will lift you above. You're supposed to walk above. He said wings as eagles. You know what eagles do in storms? They soar above the storm. Come on. Storms will come and storms will go, but when you're above the storm, come on. See, your authority is caused by your seating, and you've been seated in heavenly places. It doesn't get any higher than that in Christ Jesus. Everything is beneath you, so you can't move a mountain you're looking up to. Until you exalt your position above your condition, nothing changes. Until your reality of who you are in Christ is greater than the reality of what you are in the flesh, nothing changes. Come on. The reality comes and you grab hold of it. There's a transformation that takes place where we actually become who we really are. And you begin to walk in it. And you know when that begins to take place. Because the resurrection life of Jesus is in you. You may go down, you may fall down, but you don't stay down. You got bounce back in your spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The same spirit that lifted Christ up and raised him from the dead lifted us. He's here to lift you today. Lift you out of the realm of impossibilities to possibilities. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. See, I've learned something in my life. I don't want to live restricted. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I don't want to play the religious game, doing the religious thing, limiting God. I don't want to teach people how to cope. I want to teach people how to conquer. I don't want to teach you to lose. You can do that on your own. I want to teach you to win. I want to teach you how to overcome. I want to teach you how to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Come on. See, you may have been born a sinner, but once you're a born-again winner. You once were an ain't, but now you're a saint. You once were a not, now you're part of the am family. Come on. When people say you're not, I am too. I am too. You look at me as he is, so am I. I am too. Come on. Just as the Father is, so am I in this world. Come on. I am. I'm his reflection. Well, that's kind of weird. Well, it's weird because we haven't woken up. Come on. I don't know about you. I grew up loving superheroes. Still do. I love superheroes. And my favorite superhero of all time, Superman, always was. In fact, I'd go home, watch The Adventures of Superman, and I literally wore Superman pajamas. Maybe too much information here. From the time I was about 5 to the time I graduated college. I did. I wore you all through. I played pro ball, and I'd go to bed at night with all these guys staring at me with my Superman pajamas. Come on. And I loved that. In fact, I'd go to bed. When I went to bed at night, I had the same thing. I would dive into bed before I went to sleep and just say, Superman, and land. Then I married Wonder Woman, and that changed. But the bottom line, I love Superman because he came from a different realm. He was in the earth, but he was not of the earth. He was human, but he was not all human. He was different. See, as a father sent me, Jesus says, so send I you. You've come from a different realm with powers from a different realm. You were never made. You were never supposed to live just naturally. Never. I used to say, I'm just human. God said, don't ever say that again. He said, you are human, but you're not just human. He said, you were just human before you received Christ. But the moment the living God came on the inside of us, we're a new creation, we're a new species, we're human, but we're not just human. That's why God trains us to walk in the Spirit. Because in the flesh, we live as mere men. And 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, how long will you live as a mere man? What I love about Superman, and I'm trying to get the church into a supernatural mode, is when you normally just look like everybody else. How many people understand the anointing in you is for you? The anointing that comes upon you is for others. So a lot of times, people, they have an anointing in them, but they won't allow the anointing to come upon them, so they don't have the power to do what they're supposed to do, because until their flesh is covered, Jesus is not revealed. But I love when Clark Kent, when there was when there was an emergency, he ran to the telephone booth. When there's an emergency, we don't have telephone booths anymore. But when they're, well, I still remember them. But you know, that shows what I know. But I remember, you know, when we have an emergency, we run to the prayer closet. Come on, we may go in looking like Clark Kent, but we come out as Superman. We come out able to stop the evil. We come out anointed with Almighty God. We come out just, when you're anointed, you can do things you couldn't do. When you're anointed, you do things he can do. I remember years ago, I was in a service. We're doing a healing service. I do a lot of those. And we're doing a healing service, and right in the middle, and they advertise miracle service. That puts pressure on me sometimes. You know, I love it when they advertise revival. I said, you can't advertise revival? You can't. You have a meeting. Revival advertises itself. So when God shows up, there's no question. You know, my son's church has 50,000 people. You know how much they have spent in advertisement in their entire history of their church? Nothing. But it advertises itself. Come on. Asbury, it advertises itself. Come on. There's a move of God that's about ready to advertise itself. Well, I remember going that in the healing service, this right in the middle of preaching, a lady fell off the back chair in the church. There were about 1,000 people in the room. And her son was a doctor, and he's screaming, my mama's dead. How many of you know that's not good for a healing service? It really isn't. And if had I been like I normally am, had I been Clark Kent, I would have been in my seat just as scared as people were. I was on the platform. All my life I practiced what I would pray if that happened. I always have practiced raising the dead. It's one of the things I practice. And I had this perfect prayer down. But when that moment hit, I was so wrong. I mean, I jump off the platform. I run back there. And I pick up this lady because she was only about 85 pounds. If she was heavier, I had someone else pick her up. I begin shaking her. And this is what came out of my mouth. You die on your time. You don't die on my time. Nobody's allowed to die in my service. And I had practiced I had practiced calling life back in Jesus' name, but no. I'm shaking her and saying, ma'am, you're not allowed to die during my service. And finally I said, I command you in Jesus' name. I finally got that out. And the moment I said that, her eyes came back, her facility, everything came back, her pulse. By that time, the EMTs were there, and you know they're trying to take her away. And her son was the doctor saying, "You got to go, Mama. You got to go." And she's hitting the EMT, saying, "I want to hear the word." So, you know, I go preach there the next year. Well, she's not there. But her son is. And I wasn't going to say a thing, man, nothing. I wasn't going to ask. I knew she didn't die in my service. But the son comes up to me and says, I bet you want to know where my mama is. I felt like saying, no, I don't. But I asked God, I said, what do I say? Say, you know she's in a better place. Well, I knew she was saved. So I figured she's in heaven. She's in a better place. So I said, I know she's in a better place. He said, yes, she's in Hawaii. He said, when you shook her, she had heart failure going on. She had the diabetes. She had this. She had that. And when you shook her, all those things got shooken off. And I looked at her and said, that's because I didn't shake her. Because if it was just me, she would have stayed dead. But when the anointing comes on you, that's why you need to embrace the Holy Ghost. And many times God's walking right by you. He said, just ask for help. Come on, everyone in here, in some area, we need help. And God sent a helper, so ask for help. Say, come on, Holy Ghost, I need help. I need help. I don't know about you. I'm a preacher. I need help. If God shows up, it's good. If God doesn't show up, it's the worst thing I've ever been in. I'm desperate because I'm going to look bad if he don't come. Don't look at me that way. I can't make it happen, but I can plug into the one that can make it happen. I can see things I couldn't see before. I literally will see problems on people. I can see spirits on people. Many times I will. You know, it's amazing. Under the anointing. We got to get under the influence. You can't get under the influence unless you're taking partaking of the Most High. Years ago, we had a president say, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Why? But I go to church all the time. And I can tell who's inhaling and who's not. Come on now. He's in the atmosphere. I can tell the inhalers because the inhalers, whoa, Jesus. And I can tell them. I can tell the drinkers. See, I used to be, come on, if you don't want yours, I'm going to get yours. Come on. I can tell the drinkers. I can tell to get under the influence. Every time God asks me to do something expensive, he gets me drunk in the spirit. Under the influence, I'll agree to anything. Now I said yes, and now I get back down to a different level. I said, man, how much does that cost? Then I take another drink. Some of you right now, you got to drink yourself happy. See, if you're going to fly, you're going to have to humble yourself. You can't get lift without humility. If you humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, he'll lift you. He'll lift you. He'll lift you. But if you're going to try to be your own answer, guess you're not going to solve very many big problems. You got to humble yourself. If we humble ourselves in prayer, God will heal the land. That's what revival is. Revival is raw. Revival is not professional people strutting about. Look how great I am. No, look how good he is. Look what he can do in spite of us. Come on. Look what hunger can produce. Look what, you know, look at him. See, before you can soar, you must find a flight plan. You can't take off without a flight plan. So the first thing God does is get you saved, and then he reveals purpose. Because you already were seated for harvest. Literally, you're carrying the harvest, but you have to. God has to reveal what that harvest is so you can release it. So in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "I know the plans I have for you." See, the plan, the flight plan comes from the control tower. In the name of the Lord is a high tower. Come on now. So he begins to give us our flight plan. He said, hey, if you go in this flight plan, you're going to be safe. Everything's going to be good. There may be storms in the area, but you're going to be okay. Because whatever God pays for, whatever God orders, he pays for. His presence comes in it. And he said, I've given you a plan to give you a future and a hope. Come on. Without a vision, people perish. You can't fly blind. And many of us, when God wanted us to fly as eagles, we've been walking as chickens. So one of the things that happened during revival is God changes our thinking, and it's called repentance. We repent of a low life. We repent of not living up to where we should be. Come on, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither is his ways our ways. So he said, my thoughts are so much above yours. And when we see his thoughts, we have to let go of ours. Say, I'm sorry, God, I'm going with yours. See, the only one that's allowed to define you is the one who designed you. Many of you, you've allowed man to define you. You've defined yourself wrong. But the one who designed you, he'll show you. Come on. And you can fly that way. And it's amazing to me when you get his flight plan and you begin to repent, what takes place. My son owns an apartment. It's on the top floor of a luxury apartment, top floor. It's called a penthouse. And my son lives in the penthouse, a very nice thing. What I found out is penthouse and outhouse are not the same. Come on. Many of you, God's called you to the penthouse, but you've been living in the outhouse. Come on. But the reason you don't go to the penthouse is you don't think you're worthy. And yet the blood made you worthy. Many of you are begging for the crumbs underneath the table, and God said, I set a table, sit at it. Sit at it. Don't just get a crumb, sit at it. Sit at it. I don't care what you've done in the past, you're requalified. I don't care what you've done before. I don't care what your past say. All basically is what God says. Come on. See, your destiny, your God-given destiny will always trump your history if you'll embrace it. So you can fly. You can take off. You can go places you've never been before. Something's about ready to take place. See, the Spirit of God is going to begin to quicken us. I remember, I used to always preach this, and I'm a huge attitude person, because your attitude does determine your altitude. What you expect, you attract. See, if I can't raise it, and people say, don't get people's hopes up. They're going to get disappointed. And I said, they're already disappointed. That's why their hopes aren't up. The only way to get them out of disappointment is to get their hopes up. Come on. But by nature, you know, I have a friend that is, he heard me preach, your attitude determines your altitude. And he's a United Airlines pilot. And he said, that's aeronautically correct. He said, the nose angle of a plane is called its attitude. So when a plane takes off, it's called a positive attitude. That means it's going up. When a plane is going to either land or crash, it's called a negative attitude. That's why it says God is the glory in the lifter of your head, the glory in the lifter of your head. Get your head up. Get your head up. I played pro ball for a few years, and, you know, we play 162 games a year. And playing 162 games a year, even if you're world champions, you lose about 60 games. You don't win every one. And, you know, the thing, what you do after a loss determines your season as a whole. A lot of times we say, keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep your hopes up. Don't let this affect you. Keep your head up. And you know, God said, when all these things are happening, keep your head up. Keep your head up. God's about ready to lift you above and not beneath. You're about ready to fly above this thing. Revival's breaking out. See, I'm going to pray for you in a second because I want you to be part of this. But 6 years ago, God gave me a vision. And it was a visitation. And basically, the visitation was, he told me, the Lord came into my room, spent time with me, and said, the church has a 7-year window of opportunity to turn this thing around. And he said, if the church doesn't, he said, that window will be closed for a while. That was 6 years ago, last November. In November, the Lord visited me again, said, this year is crucial. This year is crucial. Spend time with me. And everything was going good until early January. And I started looking around and said, I never get discouraged. I honestly, my wife will tell you that. People have been around me. They'll say, we've never seen you down. They've seen me go through stuff. They said, we just don't never. I said, really, it's not my personality. It's just, it's a spiritual thing and it's a personality thing. I think everything's funny. I'm really sad because when I do a funeral, I roast the guy. Because the shell's there and nuts gone anyway, so we can have some fun. I just think everything's funny. But I was looking in early January of this year, I got really discouraged as I looked at the nation. And I said, Lord, do they even have a will to turn? I said, God, is even turning possible? And I watched the Monday night football game. I actually didn't watch it. I kept getting texts from the Buffalo Bills that one of the, and I turned on the thing. They said, turn on the TV. And one of the Bills players had died on the field. And because I had a relationship with the Bills over the years, that kind of hit my heart. And the player died twice on the field. And what I saw is a bunch of 300-pound men crying. And they formed a circle around their fallen teammate so the cameras couldn't see him in a fallen condition. The first thing God spoke to me, he said, what do you think would happen if the church would ever do that with their fallen teammates? Instead of exposing them to the camera, come on. Love covers a multitude of sins. Then I started getting... hearing the announcers and saying, we need to pray now, we need to pray now, we need to pray now. And one of the ESPN announcers said, I don't want to talk about prayer. I may be in trouble, but I'm going to pray. And he began to pray for the healing of this young man here on public TV. And one of his co-announcers said, I'm an atheist. And he said, but I'm jealous that you have somewhere to turn. And I heard all these things, and that young man he died three times, once on the way to the hospital, each time he was resurrected. And today he's holding prayer meetings around. But God told me when he said, America still knows when it hits bottom and where to cry. See, Jesus is passing by. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And saved has nothing, not just to do with saved out of your sins. If you need a healing, sometimes you just have to cry Jesus. That's all you got. But he's enough. Come on, whatever you need, he's passing by. Jesus. 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 See, that's what it's all about. Jesus. So I watched this. And then a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks later, Asbury breaks out. And I had just been in Kentucky when it broke out. And I said, God, you're doing it. I knew something changed the night of the football game. I knew it in the atmosphere. I knew something changed at that night. That all of a sudden there was a shift where what was impossible became possible. Then I saw Asbury break out. You know, there are literally campuses all across America now where revival has broken out. There are high schools that have been closed because of revival. There's middle schools that have been closed because of revival. This week, OU opened up its football stadium. I don't know when it's going to be. 87,000 seats for a student-led revival. Something's changing. In the midst of that, I have a friend that produced the movie. It was a couple of years in the making called The Jesus Revolution. He did not know that it would literally dovetail with the revival breaking out. And literally, it's the sequel. It's the sequel. It really covers the first Jesus movement, but we are the sequel to that movie. So you got to see the movie because we are literally the next level on the movie. And the sequel is better. Come on. There's a movement, man. How many of you want to be part of that movement? How many of you want to be part of that movement? How many will say, yes, Jesus? Yes, Jesus. Don't be halted between two opinions. You can't take off until you're convinced. But God is calling every one of us. And if you don't know Jesus, he's just calling you to confess him. All you have to say, Jesus is my Lord. Come on into my heart. Change me. Yeah, my prayer of salvation was not a whole lot of faith. It was more, Lord, if you are who these people say you are, I want you. That wasn't a huge one. You know, I could do better now. But I probably couldn't have any better results than I had then. But how many of you today? I want every head bowed, no one looking around. That's the way we do in America. I don't know why. Half of you cheat anyway. Don't worry about it. God will forgive you because I spent most of my life cheating when they said that. Every head bowed, no one looking around. I'm staring to see who would raise their hand. But I need to ask a question. How many of you today? You either never made Jesus Lord of your life, or you do, and you just want to make a comeback. You've been through some stuff, and you need a fresh touch from heaven. If that's you, raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to get my fire back. I'm going to get my zeal back. Some of you had a setback, took a step back. God's planned your comeback. How many of you say, I want my comeback today? I want my comeback today. Some of you need a healing in your body today. It's already yours. We're not trying to get God to do anything. Yeah, you don't have to convince God to forgive you, heal you, or do anything. It's all paid on the cross. It's not by our earnings, it's by our inheritance. And what I found out about God is all about timing. But if you want prayer, if you need a fresh touch, if you need a healing in your body and miracle, come on up right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, there's a flow, 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 there's always more. There's all. If you need to come back in your faith, come on. God freely gives. We had a Buddhist lady get healed of fourth stage cancer 5 years ago in one of our meetings. Well, I found out God, when the gifts are on me, you know, God will heal. You don't even have to be his child. He still wants you whole. Sometimes he'll heal you to convince you. And this lady, I asked her, I said, you want to receive Christ? She said, no. I said, God will heal you anyway. And I prayed for her. When she got They opened up for the brain tumor that was huge. There's a little speck embedded in skin. They got the speck, and it hadn't spread. They didn't even need chemo. I told her exactly what was going to take place. God showed me the speck. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, the doctor's going to come in, shake their head, and say there was a speck, but it was engulfed in skin, and you won't even need chemo. You won't even need radiation. But I said, the moment you hear that, I want you to proclaim Jesus as your Lord. Doctor came in, he shook his head, he was about ready to say, and she looked, she said, it was just a speck, wasn't it? He said, yeah. He said, how did you know? He said, the prophet told me. And she said, I don't even need chemo, do I? They said, no. She said, oh, by the way, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. That was 5 years ago. She's in the church today. That was 5 years ago. See, God can change the sentence. You can have a death sentence, but God can turn it into a life sentence. Come on now. God can change the sentence. Lift your hands towards heaven. Start crying out to God. I may not get to every one of you, but Jesus will. He's passing by you right now. Sometimes you don't even need the touch of man. You need a touch of God. This thing's going to begin to break. Miracles, signs, wonders. Only what God can do. God, do what only you can do. Jesus is passing by. Reach out and touch him. The woman with the issue of blood pressed on in. Said, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. If I can just touch him, I'll be whole. Some of you, things you could not break, God's breaking off of you. One moment under the anointing can destroy every burden, remove every burden, destroy every yoke. It can bring us to a place where the power and the anointing of God begins to flow. God's real. God is so real. He's breaking out in this place. There it is. There it is. Something's happening right now. You can sense in your heart. There's freedom. The power and the anointing and the glory of God. One moment in His glory changes everything. One moment, within all of a sudden, some of you are going to get your finally, suddenly moment. Finally, your suddenly came. There it is. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. Some of you, He's touching you right now. He's breathing. He's breathing life. He's changing the outcome. See, a lot of things have a natural outcome until Jesus shows up. He's changing the outcome. He's changing the call on the field. Things that have been against you, about ready to work for you. That's what the anointing does. There's a fresh fire. There's a fresh anointing. Only God. The only God. Sometimes I can't pick the timing, but I can believe the outcome. There was a man I prayed for 10 years. Now, I'll never forget because he was paraplegic. And during one of our service, during worship, he decided to get up and run. That doesn't happen. Even when I get people healed, that doesn't happen because the muscle memory has to be retaught. But God didn't know that. So he did it anyway. God's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond. Only God. This is my buddy, by the way. So I'm believing God for your miracle because he's my buddy. We've been in this a long time. God's going to raise you up. He's going to strengthen you. You got way too much to give, so we want the bounce back. So, Father, I release, I thank you for that resurrection power and resurrection life that quickens the mortal body, that removes everything that's not of you and puts in everything and restores. In Jesus' name. Something's going on in this place right now. Some of you are getting your destiny back. Some of you are getting your life back. He calls us out to call us in. Everything we receive, we become an authorized dealer of. The reason I'm good at giving mercy is I've received a lot of mercy. Because the anointing of God lifts us above that. And God's going to lift you above that where you can see things clearly. You're so awesome and you don't know it yet. But that awesomeness is coming all over you. He's going to convince you of you. You got purpose. You do. You're a lot more valuable than you think you are. So you go with it. Just grab hold of him and watch what he'll show you. And you go with it. That which has held you back is going to be broken. In Jesus' name. See, people that when they came to Jesus, he didn't talk about their past. He cut off that which was holding them to release them into their future. You're going to go places you've never been before. You're going to do things you've never done before. Many of you, God just saying, don't settle, fly, don't settle. Don't be grounded for too long. He's going to lift you up above it. It's time to fly again. It's not too late. It's not too late. There's the power of God right there. Oh, there's a breakthrough right there. We release that now. Oh. God's doing it. Only God. Only God. Catch it. That's yours. Some of you don't catch it. It's yours. Don't settle. Don't settle. Press in. God said, I got more for you. I don't care what your past has been. You're not a second-class citizen. One of the hardest things in my life was because of my past. I knew I was forgiven. I knew I was loved. But I didn't think I could receive certain things because of my past. And then God showed me how much he loved me. How clean. Some of you today, you know what God's saying to you? Shame off of you. Not shame on you, shame off of you. There's a freedom in the house right now. Not by our power, not by our might. It's the Spirit of God bringing healing, health, and strength. Only God. Only God quickening from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. I release that now. Only God. I don't care what doctors say. I love doctors until they give me a verdict I don't like. You know, doctors said my son would be a vegetable. And people who know me know the testimony. That the very place where they said he would not be able to function properly is the hospital that uses a medical app that he created, the neonatal unit, to save babies' lives. Now, I'm grateful for doctors if all they can do, but I'm grateful God can do abundantly beyond the best doctor. I'm not against doctors, but God's about ready to do a fresh thing. There's always hope. There's always hope. Hope against hope, we believe in hope. God wants to begin to breathe in situations right now. He's breathing in your life right now. God says, embrace me. Watch what I'm going to do. Sometimes it doesn't look good from the perspective of where we are. So he seats us above it. And we begin to see the next level. And when you see beyond this light affliction compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. God is about ready to break through this place right now. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hearts. There's a fresh wind blowing. There's a fresh wind blowing. There's a fresh wind blowing. God's going to blow all over you. He's calling you in. Deeper. 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 He's calling you in deeper. Sometimes we can't see things. In Ezekiel, when they got to the ankles, he didn't see much. When he got to his knees, he didn't see much. When he got over his head and returned to the bank, then he could see his fruitfulness. You ain't getting it over your head, and God's going to show you some stuff. Ho, ho. Ha, my friend. My drinking buddy friend. Holy Ghost. Power, anointing, and glory. Sometimes according to your faith, so be it. So be it. Yes. See, God is, all he asks us to do is give him a chance. Thank you, Abba. And he's doing it. He's doing it. This is okay. He loves you. The anointing of God's all over your life. This is a new season. Everything's going to become new. Everything's going to become fresh. Only God. He's going to become more real than ever before. So you get ready for it. You get ready for it. You dream big. You dream big. This is a setup time. God is setting us up. Receive what you need. It's already yours. We're not trying to get God to give us a future. He already designed one. We're stepping into it. We're stepping into it. You're stepping into what God has. Some of you are stepping out of a natural life into a supernatural one. Into a place of limitations, into a place of fellowship and communion with God. One word from God will change your life forever. One touch. And many of you have lived off of one touch for a year, and he's got another one. Because one touch, you can see things like men as trees walking, but another touch, you begin to see everything clearly. Come on. There's clarity coming. How many of you are ready for some clarity? Some of you, you're going to begin to embrace it. I found out most of the miracles happen when people begin to see themselves whole even before the wholeness comes. There's an anointing. There's revival about ready to hit every level, every age, every age, every age. God's pouring his spirit on all flesh. You're going to begin to prophesy. You're going to begin to dream dreams. Some of you need to begin to prophesy life to yourself. Speak life over yourself. You're a champion. Come on up. That's who you are. We're not saying back. We're going to go right in the middle of it. God is bringing a whole new generation in. A whole new generation of believers. It doesn't mean no. It's not why we're going to step back. It's just they're going to join us. And we'll know when it's our turn and when it's theirs. And we're going to begin to flow together to the goodness of God. But there's a breakthrough in the house right now. Some of you, this is your season. You're never too young, you're never too old. Whatever age you are, it's perfect. It's perfect. Some of you, it's just, your assignment is a different chapter, but it's the same type of thing. And you're going to see with your own eyes, you've seen some of it. In fact, you saw some of it even today. When what was prophesied over this place, you saw the cars up and down, parked outside. We remember where, you know, we really didn't even need a parking lot here. Now it's where do you fit the people? See, when God shows up, the party gets bigger. You're a party animal. You love God. Your strength is renewed like the eagles. God says, come party with me. Watch what I'll do. There are going to be downloads from heaven for an upgrade on earth. If you can see it, you can have it. God says, I'm going to open up and show you the next level. It's yours. It's yours. When God years ago told my son, I've given you $1 billion brain, you're 7 years old, he's beginning to agree with God. From the time he was 7 to the time he was 21, he'd walk around everywhere. I got billion. I asked him, I said, how many times? He said, I said, at least 3 times a day. At least 3 times a day. He said, a lot of times you take medicine 3 times a day. He said, at least 3 times a day, I'd say out loud, I got $1 billion brain. For 14 years. When he was 21 years old, was his first $1 billion product. Now everybody says he has $1 billion brain. See, for several years, I've been saying, I see revival. Now some people are seeing it too. Because God will show me things to come and say, you keep speaking about till you see it. Till everybody sees it. Till everybody sees it. See, we're about ready to see some stuff. Come on. And then God's going to show us more and we're going to take more. And there's a new group that will not be denied. You're part of that new breed. You get excited. God's breathing on the youth of this land, reawakening stuff. There's a prophetic destiny taking place. You go. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Youth on fire. Youth on fire. Youth on fire. Youth on fire. A fire that spreads. You drink so deep. You begin to see things. See, what God will show you is not just about you. It's about making history. It's about making history. You're part of the history makers. You're part of the A-team, and you're stepping up.